Jesus extends his peace to the disciples. We have to see that these disciples were all enclosed and they were filled with fear. And that's why I say we ought to consider what Jesus is saying to them when he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive." Because they saw themselves certainly as they denied their best friend. They ran away from him. Probably filled with all guilt. You know, if I walk away from my friend, next time I see him coming out of the wall or out of the door somewhere, I think I'd be a little leery. You know, this wasn't a pre-planned thing for the disciples. They knew what was going to happen. And so when he says, "You got to forgive yourselves. Whose sins you forgive, they're forgiven." And Thomas wasn't there. It's kind of interesting to see what happened with Thomas. Isn't it? Thomas wasn't there. And I'm not going to blame that. He didn't have the freedom. And then whose sins you retained are retained. That's basically what Thomas was coming to. He had retained in himself that doubt of the resurrection of Jesus. You see, we come from an angle that we know that Jesus has been raised from the dead. The disciples, they didn't know that. They didn't know what the next step was. And so a lot of times when we go into our conversion experience, you know, we can see the before and after right now. But yeah, it was a longer process. And so they had to work through a lot of things because of their experience with Jesus. And that mystery of Jesus being the Son of God. And that's a mystery that is with us today. The mystery of the Son of God. We talk about breathing. Breathe the Holy Spirit. That breath was a symbol of newness, new life, a new start, and God's action. In Genesis, the Lord breathed over the waters. And out of chaos came a whole new creation. And so this is a new creation for the followers of Jesus. A whole new animal. He breathed on them. And to get rid of this chaos, there were a couple of people that weren't with him in the room. They were heading back.
Yes.
And they were still in that turmoil. This is a sign of the news. We talk about Pentecost, the birthday of the church. For John doesn't have a report of Pentecost. This is John's Pentecost. This is the coming of the Spirit in the Gospel of St. John. Now, when we move to St. Luke, then he has it recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. For John, this is the coming of the Spirit. And what is our response? Well, first of all, we have to believe and be open to and receive the Holy Spirit. We have to be open to that and see that how do we respond? The church gets fancy and says, even in the sacraments of the Eucharist, Jesus is always present in the Eucharist, but his effectiveness is in direct proportion to us. And how do we respond to that? To the efficaciousness of the sacrament. So Jesus is here, the Spirit is here. How do we respond to that? How do I respond to that? And so, it's an individual response. And as I say, this is one of the greatest mysteries, unity and diversity. That's what the first reading is about, the second reading is about, unity and diversity. The Jewish people came together from all over the Roman Empire, coming from all these different individual places. someplace, Jerusalem, to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. So you have unity in there, but you have all kinds of diversity. You have the disciples speaking one tongue, people hearing it in a diversity of languages. How do we have unity and diversity? We're very difficult with that. If people, we're always like people who agree with us, but somebody who maybe differs, sometimes, you know, the swords come out. Because they would disagree. Sometimes we do not allow that unity to happen. And we need that unity. And this is what we see in the first reading. Of people coming all together, the disciples were all together in one place. Didn't it say all the disciples were together? The disciples were together in one place. There were a couple heading back home. I'm sure there were a couple heading all over the place going back home. The game was over. Jesus died. Joseph took him down, and that's it. It says the disciples came together, and then the Spirit showed up. The Spirit doesn't show up to the same people the same way, the same place. And so St. Luke has it, the disciples are in the upper room, and then we have a couple on the way to Emmaus, and Jesus shows up with them. I don't know whether it's the same time or not. We don't know the post-resurrection way of existence that Jesus had. And so those two came back. People in the upper room. Diversity, unity, individuality, oneness. How does that take place? How do we rectify that in our lives? We can see unity and diversity. Sometimes we really reflect that Spirit of God, sometimes we don't. And how do we rectify that? The challenge that goes on in there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit proclaimed, enabled them to do. It was the Spirit of God. And when Paul then speaks about the diversity of the gifts when he writes to the Corinthians, he said, we have to focus that Jesus is Lord. Nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And the focus then is on the Holy Spirit. And following this little excerpt, then they list gifts of the Spirit. But we don't hear them today. Because the focus is on the giver of the gifts and not the gifts. Sometimes we can get caught up in our gifts and forget who gives them. But if we're walking side by side with the giver of the gifts, anything that person has is available to me, and anything that I have is available to the other person. And that's Paul's sense of community, so he uses the analogy of the body. That all of us don't have all of the gifts, but all of us do have all of the gifts. No one person has them all. And so, we are one. We need that unity because of the diversity. And we need that diversity because of our oneness and our unity. And then we lack absolutely nothing. The early Christian community was without nothing. They had no needs. The needs were taken care of because they saw themselves as one body, united by that Spirit. The gifts are important because the gifts are expressions of the Spirit. And by your fruits, you will know them. You tell a tree by its fruit. How do we reflect the gifts of the Spirit?
at odds with one another?
We're not in unity of spirit. Yet we keep operating in quote unquote my gift. Once a person says it's my gift, better put a question mark there. Because the gift is the gift of the Spirit. And the Spirit will do what the Spirit wants to do if we are docile to the move of the Spirit. And it's only the Spirit that can bring that unity and that oneness. Locking two enemies in a broom closet will not cause them to resolve their difficulties. Only one may come out. We cannot force unity. And that's why organizations, lay organizations, can manipulate unity. And so you can have like Lions Club that are focused on, say, helping the blind. And they can do that by human instrumentality. We are called to be united by the Spirit of God, which is different than the human organization. It's the living Spirit of God. And we have to be open to that. Where do I need to change? Am I open to different diversities? If I'm listening to the Spirit, I will be. Are there any different manifestations of the Spirit? But when I hear something or see something that may be different, I need that discernment of the Spirit. Is it really of the Spirit or is it not of the Spirit? There are counterfeit gifts that look exactly like Christian gifts. There are counterfeit gifts. And it's the discernment of the Spirit that we come to validate. One of the things is forgiveness. That's key. Wholeness is key. Life-giving is key. These are attributes of that Spirit of God. So we are challenged then to see, how do we grow in that? There's always been something within me that challenged me. If I'm called to do something, when is the time that I can challenge the person, or when is the time the person say that's a scandal to me? Paul was that way, and he used the expression with the meat. He said, I could eat meat anytime, but I don't want to scandalize. And yet he would challenge people to change. Change that attitude. Why do you think that meat that has been sacrificed to idols, why do you think it's infested with a false god? There are no false gods. There's only one god. Anything else is non-existent. And so when we're called to challenge the body of Christ, that's the unity, diversity thing. And that's just a little example in there. How do we can call one another? Where do I see myself? What about people that are different than me? How will they move in the Spirit? It's very easy to say, well, if I agree with it, then we're not in the Spirit. And many times we have a tendency to do that, and God gets mad at that.
I can pray to God, I don't need my medication.
I mean, those are extremes, but they're there. And those are issues that
we're called to be that body of Christ, to have that unity, to have that oneness. And then I am integrated in that, an individual in the midst of community, unity, diversity, differentness.
Where do you see yourself in the body of Christ?
Do you use the gifts?
It's not a matter of using the gifts. It's a matter of the Holy Spirit. From open to the Spirit, the gifts will flow. Automatically.
The gifts will flow. If I'm open to the Spirit, God wants to do a mighty work. It's not about me. It's God wants to do a mighty work. God wants to forgive you. How can I sit there and not forgive myself when God wants to forgive me? We know that. That's an attitude. God wants to reconcile all of us and bring us into a unity. How is this Jesus, the Son of God, united with the Father?
says he's God. He and the Father are one.
That's a scandal.
It was to the Jewish leadership at the time. How is there a unity and a oneness there?
How is God and humanity united, or human being united? How do I see that? How does that Spirit of God move and begin working in me? Focus in on what the Lord wants to do. And am I free to respond to that?
These are just questions. I have more questions than answers. But I know that Jesus is Lord, God is Father. And if I walk or attempt to walk in the Lordship of Jesus, then it's ongoing and continuing. And I will constantly be changed and transformed by that ever-flowing, that ongoing creation of that Spirit of God within me. That breath of God will hit me many times. Say, let's start anew. God says all things are new. It's kind of like every day is a new day. Something new. Am I open to that? God, am I open to you? Or do I just want to be me? Do I want a deeper, intense union with God? Can I look to Jesus and see how he did that, even to the point of blood and water flowing from his side, and the church is born. What's that unity that's there? And if I desire that with God, it's just a natural that I have to desire with God. The Spirit brings about a unity. The Spirit brings about a unity. Just think about it. Right after you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you wanted to tell people you really didn't have the words to do. Or if we did, we fumbled all over it. But at the same time, a lot of people that have been in the Spirit, then they shut down. They didn't want to offend anybody. They didn't tell them. You have to be attentive to that Spirit of God. How do we support and strengthen one another? If we don't use and practice the gifts here, how are we going to do it in a hostile environment? Called to minister to one another. And if we're in enmity with one another, then how are we going to bring our body into a unity with God and with us? If we're in enmity with one another, again, that's where forgiveness comes in. That's the only thing where I see in the Bible where God rescinded a promise. Jesus used the parable of the steward who was going to owe his master a lot. His master said, okay, I forgive you your debt, I won't throw you in jail. And then the steward goes out and sees a fellow steward who owed him money. And he throws him in jail. And when the boss man heard about it, he called him back. He says, you no longer forgive him. Because you couldn't forgive. And that was rescinded. His debt was forgiven. The debt was taken back. And he was thrown in jail till he paid the last penny. Jesus has said we can't play around with our spiritual life. We can't play around with that. We're called to be a forgiving people. We're called to be a loving people. Because that is essence of God revealed to us through Jesus Christ, the Father's love and forgiveness. So when we talk about the Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit doesn't make a difference unless we integrate the Spirit into our lives. The Spirit wants to make a difference. The Spirit wants to use us to work through us. God's love is mediated through us. God's forgiveness is mediated through us. And if we say no to that, then we thwart the plan of God. So we think God doesn't have control over it. It's our own wills, our free wills. Whether we want that unity with God
God is God. I'm not God. God is God. As long as we keep that balance, then we don't have to pray God, we don't have to act like God. God will work through us, but we'll know definitely it's God in us and not us. God in us and our cooperating with that. And that's the power of Pentecost. Something happened to the disciples. They were no longer their own power to accept. They were no longer dependent on the skin. The doors opened and they went out. Because it's a new life. It's a whole new creation. There's a lot of things to happen to bring about the birth of God's people. The new world through the power of the Spirit.